أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تولوا عنه وأنتم تسمعون. ولا تكونوا كالذين قالوا سمعنا وهم لا يسمعون. إن شر الدواب عند الله الصم البكم. شر الدواب عند الله الصم الذين لا يعقلون. ولو علم الله فيهم خيرا لأسمعهم ولو أسمعهم لتولوا وهم معرضون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون. واتقوا فتنة لا تصيبن الذين ظلموا منكم خاصة. واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب. واذكروا إذ أنتم قليل مستضعفون في الأرض تخافون أن يتخطفكم الناس فآواكم وأيدكم بنصره ورزقكم من الطيبات لعلكم تشكرون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. واعلموا أنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة وأن الله عنده أجر عظيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تتقوا الله يجعل لكم فرقانا. ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويغفر لكم. والله ذو الفضل العظيم. وإذ يمكر بك الذين كفروا ليثبتوك أو يقتلوك أو يخرجوك ويمكرون ويمكر الله والله خير الماكرين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد عليه وعلى آله أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم. I begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I begin by also thanking you for being here, for taking the opportunity to be here tonight and to be present, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow the best of our actions to be the last of our actions and allow us to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of states. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be raised in the ranks, His ranks, before we are raised high amongst each other, Ya Rab, Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in Jannat al-Firdaus as He allowed us to be gathered here tonight. Ameen, 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 Ya Rabbil Alameen. My brothers and my sisters, in this age group, and in this time, and being in your age, and being in this moment in history, it is not easy to be a Muslim. It's not easy. And I'm sure you can nod your head and say, SubhanAllah, that's true. There are so many pressures, internal, external, whispers of shaitan, temptations, lusts, desires, opinions. The general public opinion about Islam does not make it easy for people to become Muslims. But at the same time, those who do choose to become Muslims are rewarded intensely, highly, and are going to be blessed. And now you're at a point in your life where you're forced to not just understand the basics, but you have to understand the details of your faith to make a serious decision to be committed. In order to be committed to the deen, truly committed to the deen, you have to fully understand, you have to get into the depth of it, and you have to swim deep in the deep end to actually realize and to appreciate the deen as it should be appreciated. If you have an artificial satḥi, shallow understanding of the deen, you're not going to be able to hold on for much longer. And inshallah today I'm going to begin by explaining what the word of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ meant to the companions. Sometimes, my brothers, we all have words that we use in our, languages, in our conversations. But sometimes people have different understandings of what the word means. Let me give you an example. I'm sure when you hear the Quran saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, do something. O you who believe, do something. But aqimu salah, establish the salah. You already say, yeah, I'm already doing that. I'm already doing that. Wa'atu zakat, I give zakat, and I'm already doing that. Those who believe and do good deeds, like I do good deeds, I do here and here, I help here and I do this and this and that. I'm okay. I should be fine. Right? So we assume, we take the text in the Quran and we take those words and we assume that that's what we're already doing. Yeah, we're good. It's talking about me. I'm the believer, I'm the mu'min. People of taqwa, I'm right here, man. People of ihsan, that's me. I did something good last night. People are good to their parents. Yeah, I'm good. I'm much better than others. Right? That's not the attitude that the companions had. The companions would hear these ayat and they would say, we hope to be among them. And when they hear the ayat about hypocrisy and nifaq and evil and those bad traits, they say, could that be me? Could that be within me? Nowadays, we like to, overestimate how good we really are. We don't like to hold ourselves accountable and ask, am I really hypocritical? Am I broken? Am I a liar? Can I improve? Are there areas in my life where there is, again, lack of commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And inshallah we begin to make this easy, this is an introduction, to make it easy to understand, look at a few beautiful examples from the Prophet Muhammad and the way the companions dealt with him, and the way the companions dealt with the ayat in the Qur'an. Ali ibn Abi Talib, and I mentioned this to you before, but وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Ali ibn Abi Talib, the Prophet Muhammad when he had to leave from Mecca to Medina, he had to basically leave quickly, suddenly, and he couldn't publicize it. Because people that are trying to basically assassinate you, you're not going to go out and be like, hey guys, I'm leaving tonight. You have to make it sudden. So he had to leave, and he asked Ali ibn Abi Talib to stay behind, to return all of the trusts that were in his home back to the people that basically the trusts are owed to. Because the Prophet was known to be very trustworthy, very honest. So a lot of people used to come to Mecca, trade, they would buy too much. They wouldn't be able to carry all that stuff back. So they would ask the Prophet Muhammad, can we leave the stuff in your home? Why would they ask him? Because when they would ask in Mecca, who's the most honest person, who's the most trustworthy person in the city, that even the Quraysh, the hypocrites, the kuffar, everybody would say, go to Muhammad's house. He's the most honest, the most trustworthy. So all of his home, there was a whole section which was basically full of stuff that didn't belong to him. So now he's leaving Mecca, going to Medina, hoping for a fresh start, to be with people who will eventually listen to the message and support the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His worry is, how do I return the stuff back to the people that it actually belongs to? So he asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, stay behind and catch up with me when you've distributed all the stuff back. These are the same people that are trying to kill him. Look at the moral character, the ethics. The same people that are trying to kill him, he's worried about bringing and giving the stuff back to them. There are ethics that are never compromised. You don't just be good for the people that are good to you. You're generally good. It's easy to be good to the people that are good to you. But when you can rise above the hate, the lies that are attributed to you, when you can rise above the people that are, you know, acting with you in an evil manner, that's where the real character is. That's where the goodness of the character is manifested. But that's not even the best part of the story. The best part of the story is Ali ibn Abi Talib sleeps in the bed of the Prophet Muhammad sallam, and years later, after the Prophet passed away, after Abu Bakr passed away, after Umar passed away, and Ali was the Khalifa, the Amir of the Mu'mineen, the Amir of the Believers, they asked him, "Oh Ali, oh cousin of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he manage to sleep that night, knowing there are people waiting outside the house with their swords drawn, waiting to kill whoever's in that bed? How did you sleep?" And he said, "By Allah, I never had a better sleep in my life." "What do you mean you never had a better sleep in your life? People are waiting outside to kill you and you're just chilling and it's dreaming, having a beautiful..." It doesn't make sense from our point of view. And then Ali's response was, he says, "Every other night that I go to sleep, no one comes to me and gives me a promise. You're going to wake up, everything's going to be fine in the morning. Do you have someone that comes to you before you go to sleep and says, 'Habibi, tonight, sleep well. You're good to go. Tomorrow morning, Allahu Akbar. You're going to wake up, you're going to have hummus around you, you're going to have your mom, your dad coming.'" No one can guarantee you that, right? No one can guarantee you that. He says, "That night, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ gave me his word." He says, "Ali, sleep well, sleep comfortably, nothing ill will touch you." He said, "Because I had the assurance of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, there was no doubt, there was no hint of doubt in my mind. That was it. That's all I needed to hear." From this we learn, it's just an example, a small little tiny example. The command of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the word of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and this is early on in Mecca. This is before all of the victories and all the miracles. This is early on. The word of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to the people around him was so strong in its weight that there were no second guessing. Ask yourself, does your word mean the same to people? Or sometimes when people are listening to you, they say, "Okay, is this the lie or is this the truth? Is this the exaggerated version? Is this..." How many of you here can say, "I know one person, if they say a word, it's never going to be broken. As soon as it's then, that's it. No question, no doubt." That's the way they viewed the Prophet Muhammad's word, promise, and conversations. And subhanAllah, my brothers and my sisters, I want to just fast forward a few years into the Battle of Uhud. Listen to this, to the Battle of Uhud. And I want to talk about what it means to reinterpret the text. This is a very important conversation we need to have. I'm going to re-look and reanalyze this, because wallahi, so many of us unfortunately have the potential of falling into this. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ tells the companions, 50 plus of them, he tells them, "Stay on top of the mountain. You are the people who are going to be the archers. Your job is to stay, mount the mountain. Don't come down the mountain." Clear command, right? Clear command, don't come down the mountain. Now what happened? The battle broke out. And the people that were coming to fight the Muslims, the Mushrikeen, began to retreat. And back then used to come with their weapons, used to come with their belongings, so that they would have nothing to go home to. Everything that is meaningful to them is right there in the battle. If they lose that, it's done. So they have to fight till the death. They have to fight till the last drop. So they would drop everything that they had to be able to run faster. And as they're dropping all of this stuff, some of the people that are mounted on the mountain, they start to look at the good stuff on the ground. They start to say, "Hey, this is, look at what everybody else is getting. What about us?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِي حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. Can you imagine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, Allah did fulfill His promise to you. When do you say to someone, "Allah did fulfill the promise to you"? When that person is having a question, they're doubting. So the conversation that took place after the battle, some of the people came and they said, "Ma wa'adana Allah wa rasulun la ghurura." Allah promised, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ promised, and it's all fake. It's all been a lie. It's all been false. Because He promised we're going to win. And here, the battle, we lost so many people. So the ayah came, no, Allah did fulfill His promise to you. Allah was allowing you to be victorious until you started to do what? Hatta idha fashiltum. You started to fail. Why did you fail? وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. You started disputing amongst each other. وَعَصَيْتُمْ. And because of that dispute, it led you to actually breaking the command of Allah. How did it lead you to breaking the command of Allah? When did you do it? من بعد ما أراكم ما تحبون. When you started seeing what you like. You started seeing the gold on the ground. You started seeing all of that money, all that wealth. So you started asking, did the Prophet Muhammad really say, don't come down the mountain? Did he say that, like, did he say forever? Did he say never come down? Or was it like temporary? Was it until the battle is over? Well, isn't the battle over now? Did he really mean fully? Can you reinterpret another? Are you sure that's what he... You know, people say this nowadays, right? With the ayat of the Quran. Are you sure this is what the ayah means? Are you sure we can't understand it this way? Are you sure we can't interpret it this way? Allah says, don't have, for example, if you're going to get married, the Quran makes it clear, get married in a specific way. And then the person goes, are you sure? But what if my intentions are good? What if there's khair in it? What if? So you try, here's what happens, guys. The text is clear, but we tried to superimpose our hawa on the text. We tried to superimpose our hawa on the text. We try to take the text and interpret it, reform it. How many people do you hear saying this? Let's reform, let's understand, let's reinterpret so that it suits our whims and our desires. We don't do that as Muslims. The Prophet Muhammad says, none of you truly believes until your whims and desires are on the same level, on the same wavelength, and in the same direction as the text. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Some of you are looking like, okay, what is, oh, we hear this all the time, Shaykh. We hear this all the time. Okay, what's the point? Why? What's the big deal? Listen to this. To make it practical now. Stories add so much meaning. Experience, subhanAllah. Our Isna high school students were invited to go to a place of worship. I'm not going to mention the names just for the sake of the lesson without pointing at anyone specifically. They were invited to a place of worship, like a masjid, a church, a temple, right? And this place of worship, obviously it's not a Muslim place, there was someone who represents that faith who came to give a tour. And of course, many of the mashayikh were there present to make sure that the students receive a good understanding and discuss it afterwards. So we told our students, be as respectful as possible, ask questions that are constructive, and don't be disrespectful. Amen? So the students went, and one of the students asked, I see that you're doing this specific thing here, and I see a list of things, just generally. So asked, what is your view on this specific thing that is, you know, in our faith is considered a sin? So the response was, from this person representing the faith, our scripture says that it's a sin. But that's our scripture. Just a few years ago, around 10, 15 years ago, we decided to come together and take a vote. All the paying members, all the members of the community decided to come and take a vote on whether we should, you know, reinterpret and re-understand it as something acceptable or reaffirm what the scripture says as basically it's a sin. And the majority of the people voted to actually pass it and consider it now okay, consider it acceptable. So we decided it's considered acceptable. We took a vote on it, and hey, okay, it's good to go. Can you imagine if we did that? Oh yeah, the Quran. Can you imagine walking into a masjid and the sheikh is saying, yes, shabab, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah X not to do that, and make it practical. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says don't have a girlfriend. It's very clear. Right? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Very clear. طيب. But guys, we're about to take a vote, okay? All in favor of girlfriend, put your hand up. Allahu Akbar, you're putting your hand up. That is right there, akhi. Right? All those who are not in favor, okay, it's in favor. Yalla, we're going to pass it. Pass it on. That's not the way, subhanAllah. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works in our community. That's not the way it works in our ummah. You know, subhanAllah, there's a beautiful, listen to this, there are beautiful ayat. Beautiful ayat in Surah Al-Qalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ لَهُمْ أَيْمَانٌ عَلَيْنَا بَالِغَةٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ لَكُمْ لَمَا تَحْكُمُونَ. And even earlier than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, focus please, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ أَمْ لَكُمْ كِتَابٌ فِيهِ تَدْرُسُونَ إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِيهِ لَمَا تَخَيَّرُونَ أَمْ لَكُمْ أَيْمَانٌ عَلَيْنَا بَالِغَةٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ لَكُمْ لَمَا تَحْكُمُونَ سَلْهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ بِذَلِكَ زَعِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is it the case that you have a book in which you choose whatever you like, you choose and you pick that, and whatever doesn't go well, you basically throw that away? You throw that away? Do you know, this is something very important within Islam, guys, and we take it for granted. We take it for granted. In the same surah, listen to this, in the same surah, Surah Al-Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Muhammad, you are on top, upon, ala, not, you don't have a good character, you are on top, upon excellent character. You know what the difference between me saying you have good character and you are upon good character? If I say you have good character, okay, you have it. You have it. But if I say you're upon it, it's like you're in control. Imagine someone is on top of a horse, riding the horse, controlling the horse gracefully. The Prophet Muhammad's character was flawless, beautiful, perfect. The example that Allah gave us. He wasn't, you know, some people, they have their initial reaction and they have to try to force themselves to be nice. So the initial reaction is to knock you down and then they're like, okay, you know what? What I'm supposed to actually do is be nice, okay? And they force themselves to be nice, huh? But the Prophet Muhammad's character was effortless. But in the same surah where Allah tells Muhammad, listen to this, guys, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad, you have the excellent character, you're upon excellent character, it's the same surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They wish for you to compromise a little bit so that you can compromise a little bit. So that you can compromise a little bit. You know what this means? Duhun, idhan, the root word, is oil. Oil up. You know when you have a specific structure, and you try to basically bend that structure out of its place. Try to oil it up, butter it up, so that it's less it's more flexible, it's more slidey, it's more slimy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Muhammad, you are upon excellent character, but don't let your character be your weakness. Don't let your good akhlaq be your weakness. Don't think you have to change your deen, you have to pretend to be something else, you have to be different than who you are, you have to stand up for anything else but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Your first and foremost loyalty and commitment is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before anyone else. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Doesn't matter what anyone else's perspective is, what anyone else's opinion is. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first and foremost the source of all our values, all our morals, all our decisions. And He is the source to which we all go back to. So don't try to impress someone. Don't try to impress someone by changing what your deen says. Don't try to appeal to someone else by becoming more flexible with your deen. You know, okay, we're going to try to be moderate Muslims now. There's no moderate Muslim or extremist Muslim. There's Islam. Islam is in itself balanced. Islam is in itself correct. Islam is in itself perfected. You cannot perfect what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected. You cannot reform what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. You have to remember that, guys. So listen to this carefully. Whenever you hear these words, good, bad, evil, wrong, acceptable, immoral, these are all values. How do you define what is good? Let me ask you, how do you define what is good? I'm going to put someone else on the spot. Or unless someone volunteers. Who can volunteer? Yes, what is good? Something that doesn't cause harm in any shape or form is good. طيب. Harm for who?
Well, like the environment around you, people.
Harm for people, for the environment around you. So good, that's usually the way people define good. It doesn't cause harm for me, doesn't cause harm for anyone else, doesn't cause harm for the environment. A-okay. We're good. Right? So that's how people define good. Is that how Muslims define good? Is that how Muslims define good? Is that how we should define good? Okay, someone says no. Why? Yep. So whatever Allah has defined to be good. Do you see the difference? Because there may be a difference between that. Let me give you an example. Is dating considered good?
No.
Dating is considered good from a specific social context? Yeah, for sure. It's good today. It's fun today. It's cool today, actually. It's the cool thing to do. It's the norm to do. The map is the norm to do. So social norms change with time. What's acceptable, what's not acceptable, it can change. So sometimes when we define good, this is the problem, guys. We define good as, okay, what's not harmful to me, what's not harmful to environment, what's not harmful to anyone else, is good. If that's the case, khalas. طيب, eating, يعني, for example, yeah, akhi, it's a little bit, what's the problem?
I'm gonna just drink 0.001% alcohol. Yeah, I'm not gonna get drunk. I'm not gonna cause any harm. I'm not gonna cause harm to me, to anyone else, to the environment. It's okay, don't worry. The Quran is just trying to get us to a point where we're actually doing things that are, you know, the purpose, the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is that, you know, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
You don't do that. You don't get to choose what is harmful and what is not. How can a limited being like me, like you, humans, make a law, change a law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unlimited, the perfect, the absolute, has already basically resolved or said something about? Tamam? Let's say we talk about evil. How do we define evil in a society? How do we define evil? Yes?
Something that's strictly said in the Quran.
So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines as evil. Okay, so now we're talking. Now we're talking, inshallah. Right? So good is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems to be good. Evil is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems to be evil. Wrong is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems to be wrong. Sin is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems to be sin. Acceptable is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems to be acceptable. So once my own opinion about something is different from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains, what am I going to go with? Maybe someone is sitting there like, man, I don't, look, Habibi, you know this thing about Islam? Like, come on, man, what's the big deal about entering the bathroom with my right foot? Ooh, look, I just entered. Ooh, where's the volcano that's going to erupt? Where's the wrath of Allah? Where's the adab of, oh, look at that. Oh, brother, look, guess what I'm about to do. I'm about to drink with my left hand. And I chugged it down once, not three times. I didn't even say Bismillah. I didn't even say Alhamdulillah. I didn't say Bismillah. Awwal wa akhirah. Where's the adab of Allah? Some people do that, right? Some people do that. So guys. And they will say, shh, and they will say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I'm not harming anyone. I'm not harming the environment. I'm not doing any harm. Tamam? Others will say, yeah, akhi, look. Listen, Habibi, we are now in Canada, brother. Yeah, we're in Canada, brother. Huh? This is a beautiful country, freedom. And they will say this, listen. Some people say this, like, yeah, akhi, look. If we're in a country where people are not used to seeing hair, then it's okay to cover your head. It's okay, but people here are used to seeing hair. They're used to seeing hair. They're used to seeing, yani, mashallah, everything, right? You know when you go to Burger King, you order breasts and thighs. Now Instagram is full of breasts and thighs. Forgive me. Allahu Akbar, right? And that's unfortunately what a lot of the youth, women have become a commodity. Yeah? Women have become like, you know, wa'adhu billah, unfortunately. That's the way they're being portrayed. Sex sells, let's be honest, that's the way it is. So people will say, ya akhi, what's the harm, man? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? If I just push my hair back a little bit, am I causing harm to anyone? No, it's their duty to lower their gaze. Am I causing harm to the environment? No. Am I causing harm to myself? No. I have a law here that protects, everything is good. You understand? So we can now reform the law, and it's okay, everything is fine. Right? Yeah, hey, what's the big deal? Look, brother. Right? Say this, right? I don't want to look like a fool. She came in for a hug, and I have a long beard already. I don't want to be known as the extremist. So I just hugged her and said, you know, my sister in Islam, yani, mashallah, tabarakallah. I don't want to be the rude person. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah.
That's what I always do.
Bismillah wa al-Akhir. Allah
Mustafa.
May Allah guide you. Focus. Anyway, so people will say, this is the reality, guys. They will say, what harm am I causing? She's my friend, man. What's the big? Don't make a big deal. You guys do that. You keep your Islam to yourself in Egypt, in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia. This is the cool new vamped up Islam. Do we do that, guys? Do we do that? Can we do that? Should we do that? No. That's not the way it works. We don't get to redefine and define what is acceptable, what is norm. People who are on your phones, please, out of respect. Jazakumullah khair. Tamam? So, haram, halal, harm, benefit, acceptable, non-acceptable, norm, good, bad, evil, reproachable, normative. All of those things, values, all of those things have to be in sync with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained and with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dictated. Tamam? Let me give you a few examples. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade alcohol, the forbidding of alcohol came in stages. The forbidding of alcohol came in stages. Because, you know, the Arabs were very social people. They used to drink and get drunk, and it was a part of their society. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually the command came down, listen to this, when eventually the command came down to abolish alcohol, there were people with bottles, yeah, bottles in their hands, cups in their hands. They didn't say, "Ya akhi, let me get the last one. Okay, now it's haram, alhamdulillah, I got one last one in." Right? Some people are like that, with the command of Allah, they're like, "Ya akhi, come on, yani, right? Let me get one last one in before it becomes haram." Sahih? This is the way that you... But the companions didn't do that. As soon as the command, and as soon as they heard it, they dropped it, they let it go. The alcohol was on the ground, flooded the streets of Medina. Right, khalas, that's it, end of discussion. Another example, when the Qibla changed. Do you know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the command for the Qibla to change? Some of the companions, they were praying outside of Medina a little bit. And they were praying towards the old Qibla. They were praying towards Jerusalem. And they were praying Salatul Dhuhr. They were in the middle of Salat al-Dhuhr. And a caller came out of Medina. "Oh believers, Allah has revealed in the Quran that the Qibla has now changed." Imagine the people that are in the middle of the Salah. Imagine if this happened nowadays. People are like, "Ya akhi, let us finish the Salah first and then we'll change the Qibla afterwards, man. Let us finish what we started." But the Muslims in the middle of the Salah, the Imam switched, turned around, and the Ma'moom, everybody that is basically, you know, being led, turned around immediately, instantly in the Salah, and they changed that direction. That's what belief is. That's what Iman is. Nowadays, do we do that? No, we don't do that. We don't do that. You know, imagine your sister comes and tells you, "Ya akhi, did you know that that box of chocolates is actually not halal? Why did you have to ruin my life? Haram alayki wallahi. Why? Couldn't you just wait until I finished it? Couldn't you wait until I put a little bit more in?" Right? That's the way we look at it. That was haram and halal. It's a joke. Right? It's a joke. Right? Another example. Subhanallah, yani. Why am I coming? You guys tell me. What are some of the examples that you've seen? Yes, akhi. Come on, give me. Yeah, you're good. Yalla, tell me.
Don't be short.
I'm not sure.
Give me an example.
I don't know what that's called, the shaitan.
The shaitan?
Yeah.
What? Sorry?
Can you ask the question again?
The question is, give me examples of ways that we basically don't really take the halal and haram seriously. And when we find out something is haram, we're like, "Oh man."
Bacon. Yes.
Marshmallows.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, marshmallows.
And then
they're
like, "Oh, there's gelatin in it."
You're like, "Oh man, yeah, Habibi, gelatin is a little bit. The barakah is more than the gelatin. Eat, yalla, bismillah. Say bismillah and eat. Say bismillah and eat." Yeah? Yeah? This happens where people say, "Ya akhi, it's such a small little thing, man. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. No biggie. Don't make a big deal out of it," right? Right? So actually, I remember one guy actually said this. He said, "Ya akhi, listen, let me tell you something, Shaykh." I'm like, "Yes, please tell me." He's like, "Do you know how many good deeds I have?" I'm like, "No, I don't. Inform me." He's like, "Have you seen Jabal Uhud?" "Yeah, I've seen Jabal Uhud. I have deeds that are like 10 times Jabal Uhud. This little gelatin in the marshmallow, when it comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah to testify against me, the mountains of good deeds will just scatter." No, not a big deal. Is this the attitude we should have? This is the attitude of, yani, dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very what? Very subhanAllah, yani, a'udhu billah, disrespectful way. Yes?
Another example is if, yani, if there's bacon and you thought it was basterma.
Bacon and you thought it was bastirma.
Yeah, that was bastirma.
No, if you thought it's, look, if you don't know, it's okay. If you don't know, it's okay. But the minute you find out, You can't, sah? Give me another example.
Like, you wake up and it's like, "Oh, I'm too tired." You're supposed to pray Fajr.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That's a perfect example. Listen to this. The alarm goes off for the Fajr. And you hear the adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allah. That's usually what happens, right? Turn that off. And what is the adhan say? Allah is greater, Allah is greater. But the minute you turn it off, what are you saying? Allah is not greater than my need for sleep. Allah is not greater than my need for sleep. Like, "Ya Allah Akbar and everything. Ya akhi, give me 20 minutes now. Why is Fajr gotta be at 5 o'clock in the morning, ya akhi? Ya Allah, let's push it 7 o'clock, man, 8 o'clock. Wa'adhu billah." Right? This attitude. This attitude of pushing it a little bit, I'll pray Fajr in the morning, man. We have now, mashallah, the people combined Dhuhr, Asr, Fajr, Isha, 6 weeks in a row. You know what I mean? They go to a khutbah, like, oh man, salah, la hawla, la quwwata illa. So they come home, like, oh, Allah forgive me, for Allah akbar. They pray like three good prayers, and then, Dajj'at Reem al Adith al Adeem, right? Reem goes back to being Reem. Yeah, it's the same. You go back to how you were, right? Subhanallah, right? Give me another example, yes?
What about vaping? They say, you know, it's a cleaner form of smoking, and it prevents, the health effects seem like they're better.
Actually, before we go there, I remember one brother put his hand up. Listen. One brother put his hand up. He's like, Sheikh, is shisha haram? And after a long discussion, I'm like, yes. He's like, no, you're haram. What do you say to that?
You say, no, screw you.
Anyway. Really. Seriously. So, and we have now what's among the youth known as fatwa shafi. This sheikh says it's haram. Like, okay, this sheikh is just a little crazy. Let's go to another sheikh. Sheikh, what do you say? Haram. Okay, you're out of that group. And you keep asking the sheikh. And some people actually come to them. Sheikh, I asked the other sheikh. He told me it's haram. What do you think? Well, what do you mean, what do I think? Like, are we here, Lani? What do you mean? It's one deen, yeah. It's not, we're not gonna, you know, it's not hot potatoes. What are you selling your product for? How much are you selling it for today? $10? Nah, he's selling it for $8. That's not the way the deen works. That's not the way the deen works, guys, huh? We have to be careful. We have to be cautious. We have to be careful. Because wallahi, this is the biggest, the most valuable thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Let me give you the analogy of this. Imagine you go into a hotel room, guys. You go into a hotel room. You have this hotel room for a couple of days. And someone decides to get cozy. Imagine your dad and you are traveling. Your dad, your mom, you got like three hotel rooms. And then your dad, he decides to go out and buy the latest air conditioner. And paint the walls of the room. And bring a beautiful couch. And the TV that was like 15 inches, bro, bring 27-inch TV, 48-inch TV. And he's just renovating the hotel room. What are you going to say to your dad? Honestly, what are you going to say? Shukran ya ammu. Allah barik fik ya baba. What do you mean?
It's like
50-50. 50-50? Like that. You have all this money to spend on? Give me some of it. You're good businessman. Anyway, I know. What do you say to your dad? I'm not saying be disrespectful, but what would you say to your dad? If that's your dad's idea, like what would you say?
I'd be like, father, you're a genius. I'm now going to be proud when I go to school. Be like, my dad is the smartest man alive. If you put him in an IQ test against my dad, you're going to lose.
Anyway, so he's being sarcastic. You would think it's not a very smart idea, right? It's not a very smart idea. Why put so much money and effort and time into something that is what?
Temporary.
Into something that is what?
Temporary.
Is this dunya temporary or not?
Yes.
Yes.
Do we believe this dunya is temporary or not?
Yes.
Yes or no?
It's yes.
No, all together. Do we believe this dunya is temporary or not?
Yes!
Okay, so does it make sense? Does it make sense then for me, to appeal, listen to this, to appeal to temporary beings, and buy temporary things, and invest in a temporary world at the expense of my hereafter? Absolutely not. Nonsense. If you truly believe that the hereafter is real, if you believe in the Akhirah, and you truly believe in Allah, and you truly believe in what Allah has told you about the Akhirah, then you would not be living for the dunya. Because living for materialistic pleasure is like trying to grasp water with open fingers. You'll feel a rush, but none of it remains. None of it remains. So why am I going to then put on a big show to impress people that are temporary beings like me? Limited beings like me. And at the same time, lose my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why am I going to put on a big show and put on this big facade? Big facade. And this life for so many people is a big facade. Allah says that. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنِيَ إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُوبِ لَهُونَ وَلَعَبٌ. For most people, life is just a play, fun, jokes, game. That's all it is for people. Fun and jokes and play and game. An illusion for most people. That's not the way it is for the Muslims. That's not the way it is for the Muslims, my brothers. Amen? Now, one of you asked me earlier, and I'd like to answer this question. SubhanAllah. And we're just actually talking about this earlier in the Islamic school today. Ask the question about forgiveness and about being together in a positive way as Muslims. Tamam? difference of opinion is bound to always rise. Let me say this to you. Any human being has their own vision, orientation, opinions, thoughts on life. And when two people come together, there's bound to be conflict. But conflict should not break people, and the believer truly emerges out of conflict in a better way. Emerges out of conflict, habibi, masri, mashallah alayk, right? The Muslim emerges out of a conflict in a positive way, in a positive way. Let me give you an example. Once, Imam Ali's children, so Imam Ali had two children from Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, and then when Fatima passed away, he had other children, Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah was one of them. So Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah was the half-brother of Hassan and Hussein. Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah got into a bit of a disagreement with one of his half-brothers, Hassan and Hussein, and then they refused to speak to each other for 2 days. On the third day, the younger brother wrote a message to the older brother. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to my older brother. The disagreement that we got into reminded me of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad that two brothers in Islam should not refrain to speak into one another for more than 3 days, and the better of them is the one that starts with the salam. So I invite you to say the salam next to me, the next time you see me, to say the salam to me, because by Allah, you are the better man. It's not deserving for me to say salam to you first because you're the better man. So next time you see me, I invite you to say the salam to me because you're the better man. Imagine that humility. And that was actually, subhanAllah, the way that they rectified this situation. Look at Yusuf, his brothers, when they threw him down the well, look at the forgiveness that he had. Tamam? So today we're going to do, and because this is something you guys asked about, today, especially among this age group, we're going to do a small little skit. I'm going to ask for two people to come forward. Two people. Brothers, inshallah. And then maybe we can do one with the sisters on that side. Who's going to come? Ta'ala. And then one, come ta'ala. I'm going to, if you can catch a place where you can catch them, that's fine. So you're gonna stay here. And here's the skit. Here's the skit. Here's the skit. Here's the skit. Your name is?
Malik.
And your name is? Jawad. May Allah bless you, Malik and Jawad. Malik, you just walked into the masjid. You're having a beautiful night. You're happy. You're smiling. Where's the smile? Allah. MashaAllah. So you're having a beautiful night. Everything is great. You walk into the masjid and you extend. You're excited. MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. You extend your hand to say salam to Jawad. We're going to do it in a second. But he just walks right past you. Tayyib? So Shaitan is going to come and start whispering all kinds of evil thoughts. I want someone to play the role of Shaitan. Your hand will don't say that. So Shaitan is going to come and he's going to whisper all kinds of evil thoughts into him. Tamam? And you're going to have to fight those evil thoughts and actually do something called husn al-dhan, good expectation. And you're going to actually give your brother excuses. The Prophet Muhammad says to us, two things, if we do them with each other, we'll never get into fights, we'll avoid much conflict, for the most part. Number one, have husn al-dhan, expect, think well of your brothers and sisters. And number two, give your brother and sister excuses. So we're going to do this. Okay? You're walking, you're in the masjid, you're walking, you're going to walk past him, he's going to come past you, and he's going to extend his hand out, but you're not even going to notice him, you're going to walk right past. And then Shaitan is going to come in and start whispering all kinds of evil thoughts. Oh, look at that, you know what, he did it, you know, you're mashallah, I don't have to tell you. Okay? And then, you are going to sit down and pause and think and reflect. And tell me, think out loud. You're going to have a soliloquy, which you're going to think out loud and tell us what are the thoughts going on in your mind, and then you're going to go try to make up with Jawad. Okay? One, two, three, go. Shaitan. Sorry. He's not Shaitan, but just he's playing Shaitan. Okay? Yeah. Whisper the evil thoughts. No, I want to hear. Oh, Mike.
Bismillah. He doesn't like you.
Come on.
He's gonna kill you.
He's having a bad day, bro. He probably just had some Chipotle and went to the toilet after some lunch. There's no body.
Hey, go on, yell at him.
Maybe he just heard Jacob Satorta using his song. I don't know.
I don't know why you acted like you have bipolar or something. Take it easy. No. Sorry, take it easy. You're gonna wait until Shaitan finishes, and then we're gonna hear rationalizations, okay? Are you? From the beginning. Focus.
He doesn't like you.
He's going to sit on you.
Yeah, keep going, keep going. Yeah.
He will kill you. He will beat you.
You're not a very creative shaitan, man. Thank you. It's good. Sit down. It's good. No, you stay. It's good that you don't know good yani thoughts about shaitan. That's good, mashallah. I mean, it's a form of knowledge that is not yani important to possess. Tamam? طيب. Now, you're gonna think with me, how do you now give yani excuses and have husn al-dhan? How do you give your brother husn al-dhan?
What would you think?
Probably having a bad day, I don't know. Probably ate some Chipotle after and then had some laxatives. That can't be good. Listening to Jake Paul. Somebody forced him to watch Wrecking Ball on YouTube. Can't be good. He got like a 50% on his test. I don't know, that's too bad. When he gets home, his mom got really mad. Banned him from his phone. But it'll be fine. I'll just be like, hey, are you okay? And then we'll talk it out, and then we'll have a good day.
There's so much I have to comment on, man. First of all, watching those things, yani, Allah guide, yani. I remember Islamic and not accepting, right? But nonetheless, come back, Jawad. طيب. Now, what would you do? You have a second chance now, Jawad. What would you say to him?
Hey, Jawad, how are you?
No, Chris,
fine, how are you?
Good. I tried saying hi to you earlier, but it seemed like something was wrong. Are you sure everything's okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Like, 100% sure.
I'm fine.
Are you tired? Anything?
No.
So what did he do today?
Just
slept
all day.
So
why do you think the reason is that you ignored him earlier? Give me a good one. Maybe like.
That's actually true.
Stop. Remember. This is the example of, inshallah, there was a misunderstanding earlier. Maybe you didn't have your contacts in, maybe you didn't see him, maybe you were having a bad day, like he said, right? So let's give another example that is positive, yeah?
I didn't have my glasses.
Oh, I forgot you wore glasses.
See, I'm blind.
How does that work?
Oh yeah, that's enough. Have a seat.
Don't use glasses. There's no way to stop blindness.
The Prophet Muhammad, he taught us to give 70 excuses, to give 70 excuses for one another, to forgive one another. And there's one beautiful story, and I'll finish with this tonight, inshallah. Tamam? Beautiful story in the ayat of Surah An-Nur. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet Muhammad said, no one is more kind to this ummah after me than Abu Bakr. The man, sisters with the phone. Allahi barik fikum. It's a nice phone, mashallah. There's a lot of nice stuff online, believe me. If I had the choice right now, I would take out my phone and browse too. But right now we're having a conversation. Out of respect, we can, you know, respect one another and discuss together. The man? Tayyip? Shh. Shh. Tayyip? The man? So. لا على فكرة أنا صعيدي فا have to pull up the Egyptian out. I'll pull the Egyptian out. صعيدي كمان حبيبي الله يسعدك. الله يهديك أنت. طيب جزاكم الله خير. Alright. So Abu Bakr was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abu Bakr was very kind, very gentle with his way, very gentle. Abu Bakr, he had one of his nephews. His name was Mustah ibn Athath. Mustah was one of those guys that couldn't afford to get a job. he wasn't able to maintain a job. He wasn't able to go and actually work. So Abu Bakr wanted to help him, but help him in a way that would not offend him. So Abu Bakr came to him and he says to him, would you be interested in helping around the house? I'm willing to have you come work with us in the house and even bring your mother on board. And I'll pay you enough to be able to actually live comfortably. But I need someone to help in the house. Would you be okay to do that? He says, yes, of course, I'd love to do that. So Abu Bakr actually created a job for him just that he would give him an opportunity to actually receive those finances. So this is someone who, you know, sometimes people need help. Instead of just giving them, no, allow them to work for their money. SubhanAllah, this is the style and the wisdom of Abu Bakr. Allow them to work responsibly for their money and don't make them feel like they're begging. Don't make them feel like they're peasants. Allow them to actually feel like they're doing some constructive work for it. So Abu Bakr tells Mustah, come and work in the house and I'll give you that specific amount of money. And SubhanAllah, Mustah was eating from the food of Abu Bakr, taking from the money of Abu Bakr, and he was living in the house of Abu Bakr. Imagine everything covered. And Aisha, the Prophet Muhammad's wife and Abu Bakr's daughter, when the community, the non-believers, the hypocrites within the community of Medina decided to divide the community, they come up with this plan to basically attack Aisha's reputation and throw blemishes at her reputation, try to tarnish her reputation. We know the story. So one of those people who heard the rumors and then shared the rumors was Mustah, the one living in Abu Bakr's house. Can you imagine the person living in your home, eating from your food, taking from your money? Now that same person is insulting your daughter. Abu Bakr got so upset when he heard this. He got so upset, so angry, that he got up and he says, by Allah, I will not give him a single penny. No more money to this guy. Out of my house. That's what he thought. That's what he was going to do. And then the ayah in the Quran came, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't let those who have been given abundance in wealth, abundance in capacity to forgive, don't let them take an oath to prevent the good that they're doing. No, let them forgive, let them pardon, let them start fresh. Do you not want Allah to forgive you? Can you imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is linking your ability to receive His forgiveness, your ability to receive His forgiveness, to how well you're able to forgive others. Because we're all saying, Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But we can't even, subhanAllah, sometimes forgive the people around us. And there's so many divisions, disunities. So many little fractions like, oh, this guy, and this guy, and this guy. We don't have that in the ummah. Listen to this carefully. Abu Bakr, when he heard this ayah, let them forgive, let them pardon. Do you not want Allah to forgive you? He said, yes, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. And he went out and he says, not only will I bring him back and give him the money, I will actually pay him more than what I used to pay him before. He increased it, he doubled it in some of the narrations. This is an example of how when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come, the companions react immediately, they act upon it, and they change their behavior. We unfortunately don't do that anymore. Guys, you go to a khutbah, we hear something is haram, and it's explained well. Do you come back home and you change your attitude? Do you try? Or does it go from one ear after the other? And that's why we started this halaqa with the ayat from Surah Al-Anfal. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. O you who believe, truly listen to, obey, respect the command of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, respect the command of Allah, right? And don't turn away while you're listening. You know some people, what they do? They're listening, but they're turning away. How can I be listening and turning away? I'm there, I'm listening, but I'm not really listening. Like, oh yeah, okay, God, Muhammad, right? Oh, here we go again, halal, haram. Your heart is not present, your ears are present, but all of these, you know, whispers from shaitan, don't listen, man, that doesn't refer to you. You're cool, man, you're hip. That doesn't apply to you. That's old style. Asatir al-awwaleen, old stories, things have changed now. All of these things. So you're listening, but you're not fully present. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. And don't be like those who say, yeah, we listen, but in reality, they haven't heard. Because what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الصُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الْعُمْيُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقُلُونَ وَعَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرَ الْأَسْمَعَهُمْ وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to this guys, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes and you are able to, inshallah, foster beautiful state in your heart, Allah will give it to you. Allah will give it to you. Will give you the ability to listen, the ability to implement, the ability to understand. So don't forget that the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is legit. It is real. It is not a suggestion. It is not a suggestion that we just listen and, okay, inshallah, if I can. No. Act upon it. And when you act upon the little that you know, Allah gives you the ability to learn much more. When you act upon the little that you know, Allah gives you the ability to learn much more. Tamam? Listen, remember that. When you act upon the little that you know, Allah gives you the ability to recognize and understand much more. Don't delay. Don't wait. Don't defer your repentance. Start now. Don't say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to start praying Qiyam. Tomorrow I'm going to start praying for Fajr. Okay, inshallah, in the future. No, do it. Do it tonight. Start a new page with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. In your sujood, in your ruku', in your salah, ask Allah for guidance. Read the Qur'an. Make it a daily part of your life. A nightly part of your life. And you will see the barakah in everything that you do. Allah tells us in the same surah, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you truly elevate Allah in your heart and have taqwa of Allah, you take the preventative steps to ensure that you never fall into a place where you are going to be disrespecting Allah or the boundaries set by Allah. That is what the essence of taqwa is. Allah says, if you have taqwa of Allah, Allah will give you furqana. You know what furqana is? Furqana is the ability to distinguish, to see. To see between the halal and haram. It's not shady anymore. Like, oh well, it depends. It could be this, it could be that. Your heart becomes on the same wavelength. You're able to feel something is wrong. You know, you're in a situation like, man, this is not right. I shouldn't be here. Allah is taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have taqwa, He will give you the ability to feel, the ability to know, the ability to understand between right and wrong. He will give you the strength to say no to the haram. He will give you the courage to turn away from the haram, to start a fresh page with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He will forgive you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَكَفَرْ عَنْكُمْ ذُنُوبًا. Allah will forgive you, will erase all of your deeds, and Allah subhanahu, all your bad deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best source of honor and all that is good. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. When it comes to gifts, no one can give you a better gift than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to giving in general, no one can bless you with more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you. Jazakumullah khair for your time, guys. Subhanak Allah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Any questions? We'll leave 2-3 minutes for questions, inshallah. And then we can go for pizza, inshallah. Any questions?